It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between, Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
Beatles on your Friday for you. Good afternoon to you. It's Larry Tuneforce live from the Laughlin studio. It's time for Speak Out 2.0, brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting in Laughlin. And my guest is sitting in here rocking out to the Beatles. Hildy, our county supervisor, and now the chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board.
Yeah. So, like, you're related to
is
Frank Sinatra.
Is it chairwoman or chairman? I prefer chairman.
Chairman.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now
no
you're related
special.
To Frank Sinatra, chairman of the
yeah,
board.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay. So, now, what are your extra responsibilities as chairperson?
Well, the chairman, really, what they do is they conduct the meeting. That's the whole job, is to make sure that the meeting goes and it's orderly. But behind the scenes, we could organize the agenda, put on things that maybe ordinarily we wouldn't get on. We sort of have that right to say yes and no to things on the agenda. As a rule, I don't say no. I've never seen a supervisor that became a chairman that said, no, we're not going to hear that.
Right. Like in D.C.
Yeah, like in D.C., right. They refuse to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it could happen. I could think of a few instances that something could happen that I would say no. But as a rule,
that was more personal.
We're very respectful. I believe we're respectful. You keep that going, and you can make little changes to the way it runs. Like, for instance, our last chairman was Gary Watson. And Gary Watson had a thing when go back in history a couple of years, many years, when I first was elected. And one of the things I ran on and Steve Moss ran on, even Joy Brotherton, was that we would have a call to public. Remember that, Larry?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because for whatever reason, and I'll let them tell you why. I mean, they've told us some ridiculous things. There was no call to public. And I believe, like I think most leaders believe, that every citizen has a right to their 3 minutes, to 5 minutes to address their elected board on the record.
Right.
Because, you know, there was a supervisor who said, well, if anyone has problems, they can just call me or email. There's lots of ways to get to me. But that's not the same as standing in front of the whole board being recorded and saying what you need to
and
say.
And having all five hear it at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we can't, more than two can't hear it. Now, you know, in all fairness, it was a three-man board before, so, you know, it was a little different. But I still thought it was not right. And so we did it. But the last chairman, he made a rule that you can't sign in. So when you come to the meeting, you have to be there at 9:30 before the meeting starts and sign in to do the call to public or actually speak to anything, because you can sign up. If you come to the Board of Supervisors auditorium, you could sign up to speak to anything that's on the agenda. The call to public is for anything not on the agenda.
Right?
We can't answer you, but we could refer the staff or, you know, say after the meeting, but we cannot address. So if you come up there and you want to have a little fight or a little back and forth with us, it doesn't matter if I want to or not. I just can't. It's against the law. So the last chairman had it that you had to come and you had to sign up before the meeting started. So if you literally came at 9:31, you couldn't sign up.
Oh.
And I didn't think that was right. And I know he has his reasons and whatever. But again, a lot of people are traveling far distances to go to Kingman to talk to us. And if you show up, And especially if you look at the agenda, sometimes our agendas are very long.
Right.
And if you, the thing you want to talk to is clearly an hour later, then why should you have to sit there the whole time? So here it is. If you want to come up and speak to us, you can come up anytime during the meeting and sign up to speak. And if it's a public hearing, you know, we have a lot of public hearings by law that we have to do.
Right.
And I'll always say, I open the public hearing, and if people are signed up to speak. And then I'll always say, is there anyone else who has something to say about this particular agenda item? And then I close the public hearing.
So in case somebody was sitting there and they're listening to this, then all of a sudden they think, oh, I wish I'd signed up because I would like to say this. You've given them that opportunity.
Exactly, because sometimes they've heard something while people have been talking,
right,
that they have an opinion on. So I think the more the merrier, the more participation you have.
How much longer is the meeting with all that?
You know what? I'm going to be totally honest with you. There was a lot of fights going on when we wanted to do the call to public. I can honestly say our call to public, if we get two people signed up this last meeting, there was nobody signed up. So with all that brouhaha and all the arguments and bad feelings,
it was
really for nothing. And then some public bodies have their calls to public at the end of the meeting. I think it should be before.
Right.
Because, again, the people who come all this way, they have to sit through a whole, sometimes
meeting, yeah,
very long and boring meeting,
yep,
just to say, you know.
With a lot of stuff that they're not interested in.
A lot, right, yeah, exactly.
Well, I know in Bullhead, at the city council, they do that. And a lot of times, it's people coming up and promoting a meeting this week or promoting,
right,
an event this week, you know, like, you know, Scott Merrill might go up and go, Rotary Borough Barbecue,
right,
is coming this day, or they'll do a proclamation for it. Or, you know, the call to the public in Bullhead, rarely do you see somebody go over 3 minutes, but it's everything.
Yeah, it's everything. And,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting because the city council in Bullhead, they do have people. I know Eva comes up a lot, and
yep,
Scott Merrill, and they talk about the events. That doesn't really happen at the county. And I think it's because, you know, we're so big. It's not,
right,
just Kingman. It's just sometimes if there's something really big going on in town, we'll talk about it. But
yeah,
other than that, it's really up to each supervisor to talk about it during their report if they choose.
I was going
to
say, when you talk about report, I know lots of times the mayor will say in Bullhead, okay, council, do you have anything to report? And it's dead air. There's nothing. It's like nobody says, hey, yeah, I went to the Kiwanis Kids Expo. It was great. I'm going to the Borough Barbecue. Don't forget the Western Auction for the Women's Council is coming up. They all sit there like, I got nothing. And I, as one, think, with everything going on in our town, look, Hilly can see this. You can't.
There's a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have 3 pages of stuff going on.
Are you
going
to talk about that?
Oh, I'll try to.
Okay.
That takes a whole half hour.
But we will talk about what's going on tomorrow, because that's
yes,
very important.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to just segue into that right now?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So tomorrow there is a picnic. I don't have the times in front of me. You do, though. And it's to honor our first responders.
11 a.m. until 2 p.m.
11 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Mojave Valley Park.
Right.
That's right next to River Valley High School.
Correct.
And back there. And do you have the details about?
Well, it's put on by the Bullhead City Mojave Valley Realtors, the Laughlin Chamber, the Bullhead Chamber, and the Sunrise Rotary Club.
Right.
Which is the Fort Mojave Rotary,
right,
Club, basically. It's put on by all those groups. This is the second time they've done it. It was so successful, and this time it's open to the public.
Right.
So the last year they wanted first responders, retired first responders, but this year they're actually allowing the public to come to it.
And so it's going to be great. I know they're going to have a lot of food. Dave Cummings and I donated hot dogs, and so there'll be hot dogs and chips, and everyone's been so generous.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everyone who's organizing
and
it.
And here's an opportunity for a family to go out and sit down and eat with a firefighter or
right,
eat with a police officer. Maybe you've got a 7-year-old son that where you would really like for him a positive interaction with a policeman. Well, this is an opportunity to do that. And some of them will be in uniform because they'll be on shift, but a lot of them won't be.
Right.
You know, they'll be in jeans and a T-shirt or
right.
You
it
know,
is. You're
shorts.
Right.
So,
I didn't even think of that, Larry. You're right. It's a great opportunity to bring
is.
The kids. There's going to be a lot of stuff for kids. I think there's going to be a bounce house.
Right.
There's going to be stuff, and then you can sit down and have your youngster speak to somebody, one of the first responders, law enforcement.
Yep.
You know, it's a great career. I wish more and more we kind of
you've
talk.
Learned a lot more about that.
I have learned a lot more about it, and my grandson in San Diego is taking EMT, and he wants to be a firefighter.
Great.
So, you know, it's always a great career, and I think kids have a natural curiosity.
If he wants to be one in San Diego.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Somebody could probably tell him the ropes there. So, and you just went on vacation and spent time in San Diego, and how was that, other than you came back a little sick?
Well, I was actually a little sick when I left, but not sick, and it was good because it wasn't sick enough that, like, I was in bed and
right.
I missed it. But we do know, I'm from San Diego, when I moved to New York, I went to San Diego. And
Dave's
my friend, and he came, he was born there.
Yeah.
And he had his whole career there.
Yep.
And he's probably now, like, listening and cringing because we're talking about this. But
it was interesting.
It was interesting because he got to take me through his old neighborhood where he grew up and lived.
That's always fun.
And I got to see lots of fire department buildings around San Diego, which was interesting.
It's called stations.
But here's the most interesting part. He was a fire captain at the station in the city where I moved to.
So there
was a few years we overlapped. So I was living there while he was fire captain. Of course, I didn't know him at the time. But I would walk by the station. It's the best station in San Diego. It's literally on the beach.
Of course, that's where Dave would be,
That's where Dave would be. So, you know, we go down there, and it looks a little different. It looked nice.
Right.
And I was like, well, don't you want to go in? And he's like, no, you know, I don't know anyone. I've been retired 20 years.
Yeah.
And then we just step on the boardwalk. And, like, these two burly guys with their fire T-shirts on. And, like, Dave Cummings. So it's like, you know, you're a legend.
Yeah, they still know him down there.
They still know him. And,
Crusher.
And I think the Crusher. And that's I think that goes because it's a different thing in law enforcement. It's a family. And it's always a family. You know, I'm always impressed how people in law enforcement, now that, you know, I'm closer to it, they just keep track of each other.
They
know what each other's doing. They know who's sick, and they go help. And it's been very, very interesting and touching.
Yeah. I had to laugh the other day at the Kiwanis Kids Expo. I parked my vehicle way down almost to the city hall because I had a big trailer and everything behind it. And I went to my vehicle once, and as I was walking back, I passed a Bullhead City police detective who's off duty. You know, he's got his kids with him. And I said, so what did you learn here? And he gave me three things that he learned, which that impressed me. He's been here a long time.
Right.
And he went to school here, you know, before he became a law enforcement officer. And then he said, oh, by the way, when I parked over here, somebody from the Senior Nutrition Center said, you can't park here. And I said, what are they talking about? We've got this whole city block.
Right.
And they go, this lady said, no, you can't park here. I'm going to have to call a police officer. And of course, he said, go right ahead, you know. And so sure enough. I don't know if she did or not, but ultimately nobody showed up, and he didn't get a ticket and didn't get his car towed. But it was, you know, somebody has ownership there of the property.
But it's been a very fun experience for me. I'm lucky because I don't have to live through the time when you're scared, you know, for your first responder's life, having to go out there every day and put their life on the line.
And there's so many times that, you know, you're not scared when you show up to go to work, but a certain call can all of a sudden put the fear of God into you, whether you're a firefighter or a police officer. I mean, we have police officers across the United States that are shot sitting in their patrol car at a traffic light, you know, and on calls anymore. More and more people want to target law enforcement.
Yeah. And even in firefighting, I've been learning it's a different way. It used to be you fought fires, you're a fireman. Now it's more medical, and you need different skill set.
Yeah, I had Dave and Chief Moore in early on in the show back in last month when we started, and they were talking, you know, that it's like 86% of the calls are all medical. You know, so if you're at a certain station, you could work 2 or 3 months and not ever go on a structure fire.
Right.
You know, you're running medical calls or EMS calls or a cat in a tree and so on and so forth.
Right.
So, but let's talk more about supervisor. So you've been in almost 8 years.
7 years.
7 years. What's the most interesting part of your job?
The most satisfying and interesting to me is helping constituents. People, you know, it's very interesting. My job, in case people don't know, My job is to represent you,
right,
the constituents of District 2 at the county. And people don't understand because they'll come and they'll apologize like, oh, I'm so sorry, I need help. I'm like, don't apologize. That's my job. What do you need help with? Because most people, it's hard to navigate the bureaucracy of the county. It takes years to learn it, you know.
Yep.
And so I go in there, I know who's who, and they'll listen. They'll pick up the phone, and if it's something I believe in that I think whoever's talking to me has been wronged or they need some quick attention, I can make that happen.
Right.
And that is very gratifying because some of this stuff is time sensitive and it affects their lives. And so that whole thing about affecting people's lives to me is very interesting. It's not like you're a state senator or a state representative where you're a vote. It's more philosophical down
right.
there where, you know, do you believe in taxes? Do you believe this? And then you can vote that. But this is one-on-one, and you get to see the results, and that's very gratifying. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes, you know, there are things called laws. And,
yep.
You know, if I think a law is stupid, I'm going to try to change it. For example, we have something going on in public health. And somebody, a business owner, called me up and told me that they are only allowed to have one event permitted with food event a year at a location. And
really?
This particular company wanted to do a few. And it just made absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, why would they limit it?
Yeah, so, you know, I got to work and made phone calls and went and had meetings with people, and I had the public health director come to talk to her, and I didn't hear an answer that made sense to me.
And she's new on the job.
She's new, and she's great.
Good.
And her name is Denise Burley. She came from Coconino, and I've been very impressed with her.
Good.
She's a real go-getter. And so she's catching up, too, and a lot of it is from the state. Apparently, the health codes haven't been done in like 20 years.
Yeah.
And the only entity that's done it is Maricopa. So they're having us, instead of going and fixing it and doing what's right, well, while they do it, which God knows how long that will take, we have to abide by Maricopa laws, which the laws in Maricopa have nothing to do with us.
Bobby County,
I found out that we can adjust it. The board can. So there'll be things I'm going to be bringing up in the next several months as soon as possible. And I was able to help that woman and to have,
good.
You know, because it's just ridiculous. We're not talking about full-on meals. We're talking
right.
about popcorn and pretzels and
yeah.
hot dogs. And, you know, you're with nonprofits, and you know
yeah.
what it's like to
oh,
have
yeah.
to go through with the public health. And
yep.
You know, it's funny, and I've told this story when I ran. I ran for office because of public health. I was working with the Republican women and in the Republican Party, and we have a big picnic every summer. And that year, the women were making desserts. The men, you know, bought the, you know, the
of
food,
course, yeah.
but the women were making homemade desserts, which is very nice, right?
We just go to Walmart and buy donuts.
Well, so this is what happened. So I was told that we had to hang a sign over the desserts that said, "These items have not been seen by any regulatory authority."
You had to hang
had
that
to
sign.
Hang that sign. And at first I was like, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, this is a political thing. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't get it. Then I got, like, kind of sort of frustrated, and I called one of our representatives. I'm not going to say who, but I called one of our representatives at the time. And this representative said to me, "Oh, just do it. It's easier."
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And I did not like that answer.
Right.
And then I said, well, what does this really mean? Does this mean that they're getting us ready that one day, you know, Uncle
yeah.
Aunt Betty's brownies are going to have to go through a regulatory authority?
Yeah.
So
she
I thought
to submit her recipe to the county?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone gets to taste it. I think when you go to a picnic, you go to, and it's homemade. You make that decision
yes.
for yourself,
yeah.
whether or not, you know, a lot of people don't. I know a lot of people who go
sure.
to potlucks who won't eat.
But if it looks good.
I know. And, you know, you know the people.
Especially desserts.
Right. So then I thought, oh, before I make a big deal, this is before I ran for office, before I make a big deal of this, maybe there was like some elementary school kids died because they ate something at a picnic, you know.
So I did some research,
nothing. I called our health department. Nobody knew. They gave me a number of the health department in Phoenix. I called. I got someone named Sunshine something. And nobody was able to tell me why.
Right.
So I still put it up, but that's when I said, you know, sort of my thing, and I've put it's a kind of a thread through my career. You have to tell me why things are.
Yeah.
If we have a law, why?
Yeah.
And this whole thing with the one event, when I said why, I'm not going to say I didn't get an answer, but I didn't like the answer.
Okay.
The answer wasn't fair to my constituents.
Right.
So I will go to bat for things like that. If you can't explain it to me, or if I just think it's stupid, that's my thing. That's sort of my bar. It's just stupid.
There are some.
Right?
There are some. Yeah.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a break.
All right.
And we'll be back shortly.
National Notary Association member, founder Las Vegas Chamber of Adobe Acrobat User Group, Veterans First Program member, Mr. Eugene Williams is the trusted and reputable source for your business admin. Eugene Williams Consulting is offering unique and solution-oriented support for your business presence in Nevada, way below the standard rate. Eugene provides mail forwarding, free notary public, licensing, posting compliance, Nevada agent registration, and more for just $50 a month. Don't get behind in your business needs and go to EugeneWilliamsConsulting.com.
CBD is becoming one of the most effective pain management products today. Groundbreaking research in CBD has revolutionized the health and wellness industry, and you need to know where to go. The Vaporium of Laughlin now carries a wide array of full-spectrum CBD products. The guys at Vaporium have established a close relationship with their suppliers and do not promote anything less than the best. Safe, effective, backed by lab-tested results, they support only top-brand CBD products. Come meet Ian, your CBD consultant, and see if CBD is right for you. The Vaporium of Laughlin, located across from the Golden Nugget.
Have a second home here.
Okay.
Now he's retired here.
Paperback writer's writer.
He'll be sitting over here singing. This is Speak Out 2.0. Live from the Laughlin Mall, brought to you by Mojave Shred, secure document protection. Mojave Electric Cooperative, your co-op connection card, gives you discounts all over town. Martin Swanee, Hyundai, and Kingman, and you can test drive a new Hyundai today, and you can buy one for under $30,000. Vaporium of Laughlin, for all your needs to quit smoking. If you want to stop smoking, that's where you want to go. And Eugene Williams Consulting. And so those are our sponsors, and we're visiting with Hildy. And before we go back to Hildy, we got somebody on the phone that might want to ask a question. So, hello, caller. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question for Hildy.
All right.
I am a Mojave County resident. I live in Golden Valley.
Okay.
I am curious about what's going on at the fairgrounds. I mean, I don't know if I'm reading it right or reading it wrong. It looks like to me they're trying to get rid of stuff rather than bring more to it. But I would like clarification of it if I could get it.
Okay.
And I'll get off the air so I can listen on my radio.
Okay, listen to your radio and she'll answer your question. All right, Hildy. What's going on?
The Mojave County Fairground has been a source of concern for a long time. And it had to do in years gone by of the leadership or lack thereof leadership. So they're looking at ways to bring in more. I want to assure the caller that we're looking for more, not less. We're not looking to phase it out.
More events.
Okay. The investment hopefully will be more. You know, we just lease it to them. So because it's been sort of sketchy and it's, you know, years that is good and years that's bad, the agenda item wanted us to renew the lease. I believe it was for 10 years, but we opted to just do year to year. So we can go back and we can, you know, make sure that all the, we're having milestones that all of them are met.
Okay.
And what they want. But there's so much opportunity out there.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I heard, because I wasn't around, that they wanted to move the fairground somewhere else.
Right.
Than Kingman. And I know Golden Valley, as your caller,
yeah,
there was an opportunity there. And because it's all of Mojave County. You know, on sort of like another related point, a lot of people think that the county is Kingman.
Right.
And I have a little, I have an issue with that. You know, our animal shelter is up there, and for a long time, Kingman used it like their own.
Right.
And we didn't like that. And, you know, just trying to make it fair and equitable is always a challenge. I think we're doing the best we can. I mean, there are things that have to be up in Kingman, of course, like we just broke ground for the new courthouse, Law
right,
and Justice
right.
Center. That's been 20 years in the making.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, you pay a quarter cent sales tax. Every county is allowed a certain amount of sales tax. And almost all, there are 15 counties in Arizona, and almost all of them have hit their cap. But we haven't. So we're very frugal with it. And 20 years ago, they put in a 20-year quarter cent sales tax, one quarter of a cent sales tax, and that money would go to building and capital improvements. And there was a list of buildings that the county not only, you know, needed to upgrade, but by law they were mandated, like the new jail.
We didn't have a choice.
So, and the administration building and public works, and all the buildings got done in those 20 years with that quarter cent sales tax, except the courthouse that was originally number one. Now, you know, I was told early on, when things don't get done in government, it's because somebody doesn't want to get it done. I'm not saying that was this case. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's this case. And,
But now it's time to get it done.
And the sales tax, and you'll be hearing about this, the sales tax sunsets at the end of this year. It was 1999, 2019. Supervisor Johnson, who's the only supervisor that was on the board in those days, he promised his constituents that he would not vote for another one, or nor extend it, because everyone out there knows that that's what governments do when they.
Yes.
Sometimes, I mean, the state didn't when they did that cent sale.
Yeah,
they took it back. But then other local governments, because, you know, the argument always is, well, you're already paying it. You know, it's not
yes.
it's not killing you, so you know you'll never know it's there. But you know, in real time, it's sales tax.
Yes.
So there's been a little chatter from some quarters that they want to extend the tax and do the sheriff's substation.
Right.
We have three problems. The sheriff's substation, the morgue, which I'll talk to you in a minute.
Right.
Because it's morgue-y. And animal shelter, which is
okay.
something that we've been speaking about for years and years and years.
Right.
And those are really the three most pressing things. So if you could put them all in one building. I mean, you really could if you think about it.
You could.
You know, the sheriff's substation, I'm not exactly sure. You know, maybe we need to sort of rehab the existing ones, because even the sheriff himself said that they're not going to be, they're just going to be coming in, you know, in and out of
right.
that station. They're not going to be, like, working out of that. So is that really
it's not
a
open
best
to the
use?
Public type
no,
thing.
No, that's
like
not best use of the
is.
Money.
Yeah.
Then you have the morgue. So in case
that's not open to the public either.
No, and you don't want it to be. And,
no.
You know, morgues and MEs, medical examiners for counties like ours, their role is only when there's like an unattended death, or if a family wants to do an autopsy. So it's not like a hospital where people are coming in and out and you
or
know,
like
bodies
Chicago
are
or something. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's manageable. And we have chosen, like a lot of rural counties, to contract that out.
Right.
So we give a flat fee to a doctor, and it's something like $640,000 a year.
Right.
And that is up to that contractor. They've got to rent their space, their equipment. I think we actually gave them a vehicle, but it's up to them. And
right.
as I look at it, because I'm always looking at liability, they take all the liability, which is always good.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're growing, and the intake, unfortunately, is getting higher and higher. So the first time when I first was elected, they took us for a tour of all the county buildings. And the morgue is down in Havasu
right.
in sort of an industrial park.
I know. I've
it's a
there.
Metal building next to a transmission shop.
I know.
Right?
I was there years ago. I'd actually, when I retired from the fire department, applied to be one of the, like, part-time, that goes out and picks up bodies, basically.
Oh, nice.
And you take them to Havasu and drop them off.
Right.
And so I went down there for an interview, and the more the guy told me about it, the more I thought, I don't think this is what I want to do.
The building itself, it was nice. I mean, it was kind of modern, but at the time, 7 years ago, it had, and they were leasing it. They didn't own it.
Right.
And it was not our building, but it had no air conditioning. They had a swamp cooler.
Yeah.
And they had a big freezer, you know, to put the bodies
in. Yeah.
And then they had, like, you remember, I was just telling someone the other day, remember, like, in Young Frankenstein when they got the jars full of...
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Abby Normal, right? And so this ME had all these jars on shelves in this sweltering heat.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this can't be good, you know, this can't be good. So we ended up investing. We had to get her some air conditioning. There was a health issue at that point. And so they're still using that. And so the argument and the debate is, do we bring this service in-house? Do we now become the morgue?
Right.
Anytime we can avoid that, taking in growing government, that means salaries, that means retirement, I say keep it out until we are absolutely forced to. And there are other, we're next to other rural counties. And so have a consortium. You know, let's all cost share in it. And there are ways. So I'm not... Right now, I don't think I would support building the thing. Now, the animal shelter is a whole other ball of wax.
Right.
We have to do something. The problem is going to be where it's going to be. There's people who want it in Kingman. You know, they just built a one out in Havasu. That's not a county one. It's a city one. The that Western Arizona Humane Society that I hear is like a Taj Mahal. I mean, the people in Havasu, they've been working for many, many years. They always do a good job in raising money for the things they need in their town. And they did this. I can't wait to see it. But that sort of leaves us out in the cold now. So Bullhead has issues.
Oh, yeah.
The county has issues. Kingman has issues. So, you know, if we pull together our resources, but I'm not quite sure that having it in Kingman or as they were saying, if it was that one building out in Yucca, Why would you have it in Yucca?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. You'd be traveling so much.
Yeah.
But there was a time we thought that old jail, you know, the old jail?
Okay.
Not the old jail, the old jail.
All right.
Right? The one that they had closed down, mandated by the state.
Right.
Have you ever been in there?
No.
Holy moly. Holy criminy. It was... It's like out of some, you know, movie. It's just...
It's that old.
It's that... Well, it's that bad. I mean, with graffiti and, you know, there are different pods and there are bars. And so we're going through that, and we're going through. And I remember with Joy Brotherton at the time, and, you know, we're walking around, and then they have their big, huge commercial kitchen, you know, industrial.
Yeah.
And with these big walk-in, you know...
Freezers.
Yeah. And there's like a ramp. A truck ramp that goes up. And I looked at her and I said, we could literally have the morgue and the animal shelter. I mean, you have the big freezer and then you have the bars and it's soundproof. I still don't think that's a bad idea, but it didn't really gain any traction in the thing. But you got to think outside the box.
You talked about the one in Havasu as being a Taj Mahal.
Right.
I can remember, and I'm going to pick on Tom McGraham. I can remember when Olivia McCormick designed the City Hall in Bullhead, not just by herself, but she chaired a committee where they designed the new City Hall because they had been leasing a building over on Raymar, and it was time to build a police department and a City Hall and courtrooms and everything else. And all during this time, Tom McGraham was saying, she's building a Taj Mahal. It's a Taj Mahal. It's a Taj Mahal. And now here we are. We've already got another City Hall. Because these things, you know, when you build them, they say, oh, look at it. Yeah, but you outgrow them.
Right. And going back to the court, you know, that is one of the oldest courts in Arizona, which is pretty awesome, but it's really not conducive.
I was there two weeks ago. I got called for jury duty. Paul Lavoie came in and filled in for me on a Monday. And during jury duty, we were in, I forget his name. But we're in his little tiny courtroom with this pole in the middle of it.
Yeah, there's a pole in the middle of it.
And one of the defense attorneys or one of them got up and said, let me dodge this pole. And the judge said, just remember, it does hold up the floor above us.
Exactly. You know? The best thing about that courthouse is the main courthouse, which, you know, is, again, one of the oldest with all the stained glass. And then they have the original. If you ever get a chance to go and see this, they have the original chairs, and they're just plain kind of wooden chairs, but they have a kind of a wire shelf underneath, so it's where men put their cowboy hats.
Wow.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone came. They're all cowboys here.
Yeah.
So there's so much history. So that's why, you know, there was no way I was going to vote to destroy that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to do something with it. We're going to do a little with it now, and it's right next to the old. That whole center, I don't see why it can't be like Prescott.
Yeah.
You know, with everything is around that old courthouse.
Yep.
So we're pretty proud about that. We came in under budget. So we're just there on the sale. So what you're going to be hearing is our debate, which is whether or not to extend the sales tax for specific things.
Right.
It wouldn't just go back in the general fund. It would just be certain things.
And it wouldn't be 20 years. It'd be
no.
shorter.
No, it would be much, much shorter.
Okay. Let us take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott with the Lake Havasu Firefighter Charities, inviting you to our inaugural golf tournament, April 20th at the Refuge Golf Club. This is a four-man scramble with lunch included. Anderson Auto Group is sponsoring a chance to win a car, plus one lucky raffle winner will have the opportunity to win $10,000 with a long-distance putt. Who can't use $10,000? There's also going to be many more prizes and raffles. Stop what you're doing and register today for the Lake Havasu Firefighter Charities inaugural golf tournament, April 20th at the Refuge Golf and Country Club.
One thing is for certain, Bradley Ford, Bradley Chevrolet, and Bradley Lincoln will not be beat. You won't find a better deal in town or out of town. The Bradley Auto Group prides itself on how customers are treated and cared for. We are your neighbors. We see each other around town at the stores and ball fields. Bradley Ford, Chevrolet, and Lincoln will not be beat on price, period. You're invited to our dealerships anytime and experience unmatched customer service and the best deals possible. You can count on Bradley Ford, Bradley Chevrolet, and Bradley Lincoln will not be beat. Visit BradleyFord.com.
Oh, yes, it's Beetle Friday. Speak Out 2.0, Larry Tuneforce live from the Laughlin Mall. And our show is brought to you every day by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee of Hyundai of Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting here in Laughlin also. So we're back with County Supervisor and Chairperson Hildy from the Board of Supervisors, and we have another call. So
now I'm just like a one-name person, Hildy.
Yeah,
is
it? But I go to Hildy, and then your title is, you know, a foot and a half long. So, caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
No, I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
I called a while ago about the fairgrounds, and I got to give Hildy credit. She's a true politician. She talked all the way around it except to it.
Well, what's your exact question?
I don't really think that. You said we're trying to get more stuff into the fairground. I don't see where you guys making the guy with the at the track tear his stuff out all the time and put it back every time they want to have a race. I go by that fairgrounds probably 10 times a month. It looks like when they have the motorcycle races, they have really good crowds, and I would think you wouldn't be encouraging that rather than telling them to tear it out.
Well, I honestly can't really speak to that because I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about tearing it out. I hadn't heard anything like that. We have a contract with a management company.
Right.
And so, you know, they have autonomy to do things. Of course, they still have to come before the board if
sure.
they want to do that. And again, there's been issues. I'm not going to lie. We've definitely had issues. If it was up to, I think this board wants to see that fairgrounds succeed and do well. And I've been told that they're going to be looking at other bigger events coming in and things like that.
And there's no doubt that I just had Toby Cotter on yesterday, the city manager of Bullhead, and Toby was mentioning that they're now looking for almost, you know, 50, 60 events a year in Bullhead City.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Jeff Tipton was here, who's in charge of all that, and he was saying the same thing, that there's weekends where they've got a soccer tournament, a baseball tournament, a basketball tournament, you know, two or three things
right.
happening. So I can see where, and of course in Bullhead we have the new Anderson Event Center, and Ed Katafamo is one guy, and like this guy was saying, you know, you got one guy doing it. Well,
right.
But that's what you want, is one guy that has all those connections,
right,
and has can put events together like that.
Right. But the fairgrounds is a very specific venue.
Yes.
I mean, they have the rodeo there, and they have the Mojave County Fair,
right,
there, which is great if anyone hasn't been to it.
And coming
go
up the 18th through the 20th, they have a Mojave County Fairgrounds will have the Mojave County Home and Garden Show there.
Right. And those
so
are sort of standard.
Big buildings,
but I think what this gentleman is saying, you know, there's racing, there's things. And racing is very, very hot now.
Oh, yeah.
And BMX racing. And I know
exactly.
Up in the Wallapies, we had a new event last year that was very successful, and it was BMX racing in the Wallapies. So there's a lot going on. We are an outdoor tourist town, and we've got to exploit what we have, and
yep.
I think we've been doing a pretty good job when it comes to the fairgrounds. You know, I tend to defer a bit to the supervisors that's their districts, although it is the whole Mojave County.
Right.
But yeah, I'm hopeful that it's on the upward swing.
And to that caller, April 30th, Gary Watson will be in here for a whole hour. And actually, Gene Bishop will be here on the 16th.
Perfect.
So you can call back and ask both those supervisors the same question. Now, the three of them can't talk about it, but you can ask them all the same
question. You can ask the
question,
and you know what? Gary's been there since day one, so
yeah.
He knows the whole history. You can probably just do a whole show on the history of the fairgrounds, and it would be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be, especially for that one caller.
Yeah, well, please call back, or even go call him.
Right.
You know, if you're in Golden Valley, Jean Bishop is your supervisor, and I'm sure she'll be very glad to hear from
but
you.
But probably the expert on the fairgrounds would be Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Gary's very reachable, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We all are. Before we go farther, I want to commend you because, you know, it's Beatle Friday, but you're not just playing Beatles. You're playing the real sort of hardcore old-school Beatles, and I love it.
Past Masters 2. Here, I'll even let you pick the next one.
Oh,
lucky
me.
You can pick out the next song. So Hilly's been on the board for 7 years, and now they rotate the chairperson, right?
Right.
Just kind of everybody takes
we got to vote on it.
Okay.
And I can't say we've truly rotated.
Oh, okay.
Because there's been one of the supervisors that hasn't been.
Oh.
So what we sort of have an order to it. I'm chairman, and I have a vice chair, and theoretically that vice chair will be the next one up, and, you know, that's how it goes.
But not always.
Three years ago, Gary Watson was in, and we were right in the middle of all that water stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he was representing us, and I thought it was my turn last year, and I thought it was important for consistency.
For him to stay on.
For him to stay on as chairman. And so I said, I nominated him, and I said, I'll be vice chair if it's the will of the board, and then try for it next year. And I think it worked out well.
Good.
Okay.
So now, for the listeners out there, if they want to go tonight, this is tonight, to the Needles Rodeo. It opens at 4 p.m. I've got two VIP tickets. You can go anywhere you want with this VIP ticket. And I've got two of them. So if you want to go, you've got to call me, but you got to meet me halfway. I'm not driving to Needles to deliver these tickets. And I've got two for tomorrow night, Saturday night. So what I'm going to do right now is take two phone calls. All right, 702-298-1063. If you want to meet me in Golden Valley, somewhere halfway at Safeway or something in Fort Mojave, and get these tickets, give me a call right now, 702-298-1063. Okay, there's the first one. Yeah,
lucky.
Already. Okay. All right, let's see here. Who's our winner?
Hey, me, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What, you want to go Friday or Saturday?
Let's do Saturday.
Okay, so Lisa has Saturday. And, Lisa, I'm going to give you my cell number, and you call me when we're off the air, and we'll make arrangements to meet in the next couple hours.
Oh, that sounds great. Let me grab a pin.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a 298 number.
298?
Right. 201-3313.
928.
Yeah, 928. What did I say?
I'm 298.
201.
It's good that you're here, Hill. You correct me. Yeah, so I've got two tickets for you. Give me a call, and then we'll...
I missed the number. It was 298-201.
It was 928. 928.
Okay, 928.
201-3313.
3313. Perfect.
Right. Okay, Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so Lisa's all set, and now somebody else is calling in, I think. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Oh, maybe he hung up. I thought I heard a car take off in the background. So I think we have one more.
You have one more set of tickets.
Yeah, one more set of tickets. Oops.
Wow, lots of non-starters.
Hold
here.
Hold on here. Maybe I got to push a button here. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Caller?
I hear something.
I know. Caller, are you there? No? Okay. Well, call back. We still have one set of tickets for tonight at the Needles Rodeo in Needles. And I'll meet you somewhere like around Safeway and give them to you today. So two VIP tickets. Somebody can go and have a good time.
Yeah. You know, I would have gone if I was feeling a little better. I'm under the weather.
Yeah. But you need to go home and rest.
I do. I need to.
That's a big thing. So now, where do you see our taxes going? The county lives on property tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on. Maybe we got a winner here. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller.
Wow.
Hello, caller. What, they call in and hang up?
Is sure your board is working?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
So I can pretty much say, of course, I'm one supervisor. We haven't even, the budget process has begun with departments and stuff, but we don't really get to it till about May, and then, you know, we go through it. But I'm fairly confident to tell everybody there will be no tax increases. You know how every year I kind of fight and
yep.
I hold town halls and
I
it worked. You know, it takes one person, and I fought so much, but I think I can sit back and rest. It's been a great year at the state.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air. Hello? I can hear something in the background.
Can you hear us, caller?
Hello, are you there?
Don't you want tickets? All right. Okay, I'm going to finish this statement. So I can pretty much guarantee, as far as I'm concerned, that the taxes will not go up.
Good.
This year. We've done so well on so many. You know, it's been a good year with the economy, and when it's a good year in Phoenix, and you know from the governor's state of the state, they had $1 billion in surplus, and you know, so that trickles down into state shared revenue and everything. Everything is looking good.
And then
this is what my problem is. I mean, it's everyone's like, oh, that's great, there's no problem. My problem is when these things happen, to make sure that they don't grow the government, right? They're not hiring a lot of people and expanding.
Right.
That's now my new mission, to make sure that we're very, very frugal with the money that we have and don't use it to grow government.
Okay, what number do you want there?
Oh, number two. We can work it out.
Number two. All right. We'll be right back after this.
Tell us your thoughts for a chance to win a free iPad. The Mojave County Department of Public Health and Kingman Regional Medical Center invite you to take the Mojave County Health Survey. Let us know what health issues matter to you. Your feedback helps shape local public health policy. The survey ends April 5th. All responses are anonymous. Visit azkrmc.com or mojavecounty.us to take the survey. A public service message from Radio Central.
Okay, Hildy, we've talked so much. We have about 30 seconds left over Let It Be. What do you want to wrap up with?
Whisper words of
wisdom.
Wisdom. Let It Be. Words to live by.
You're off.
The voice of the free. KNTR Talk 106.3. KJJJ Laughlin. HD2.